He's here. I want to take you to Luke chapter 24. And I think sometimes we can read the word, but sometimes we need a little more than just what we learned yesterday. And if you look at movies, etc., etc., and you see preachers here and there and there, I mean, I always look to try to find what he wants me to wake up to. And I don't always understand it. But as I learn to trust, he has abilities that are more than able to change me from what I was to what I need to become. And the verse that I would like to kind of press in this morning was verse 45. How many know you can read something and you can study something over and over and over and never really catch on? Or somebody can tell you a story and you can listen to it, but all of a sudden your eyes from within get a glimpse of what they're talking about. And when that happens, you don't have to listen to the story again because you know it. Because God revealed something special about it to you. Verse 45 says, "Then he opened their minds to see so that they could understand the scriptures." He opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. Meaning God has an ability to open your mind to understand the scriptures. And I can tell you that I read the scriptures for 10 years on my own. And you know what? I would sometimes start understanding things, but most of the time it got me angry. So it wasn't maybe a cool thing to happen, but it was. It was what happened. I mean, it gave me such a critical attitude. Because the more I learned, the more I understood that people had been giving me their opinions. And it wasn't matching what really happened. So for 10 years, I'm walking in this weird space. I'd read the scriptures periodically. God would kind of press me in to study. And I would study it like I did in school. But then the Holy Ghost came into my heart 10 years later. How many have received the Holy Spirit with power? Thank you. When that happens, I mean, I became aware that there were lines between the lines, between the words. There were jots and tittles and little pieces that I had never, never seen before. And I can remember, you know, I had the business running, etc., etc., lots of experiences of all kinds of types. But God was pressing in. Get into the Word. I would wake up at 3 in the morning. Like, wide awake. And the first thing I'd say, "Well, Lord, what do you want?" "Well, get your Bible out." I'd sit at the kitchen table. And I would read till 5, 6 o'clock in the morning. And I would be ready to go to work. And I didn't need any extra energy. I didn't even need a cup of coffee. Now that's not normal for me. Really, far from normal. My normal was a cup of coffee and 2 cigarettes. I had done that for 20 years. So, you know, you do that for 20 years, you kind of get used to it. Anybody relate to what I'm talking about? Thank you. See, I'm not trying to be critical of who I was. I'm trying to tell you he had an ability to open me up. He had an ability to unlock something inside me that would comprehend what his word was really all about. Then later on I learned he was the author. The Holy Spirit writes through people. When I went to the funeral last Saturday, a week ago Saturday, there was a word that came out of my mouth to the lady who happened to be the daughter of the person that went home to be with Jesus. And she was so shocked at something that came out of my mouth. She says, "You're channeling my mother." And I looked at her and I said, "No, I'm not channeling your mom, but the Holy Ghost is letting you know that he can touch your heart today." And the tears were rolling out of her eyes. Now, she had never been to a Holy Ghost preacher's experience, I guess. That's probably the best way I can describe it. And I will tell you that I'm a little foreign. I'm a little bit weird. Sometimes a lot more weird than I realize. Until I see what I used to be to what I've been created by God to be. Look at your neighbor. Say, "You're being created by God to be something else. What you were is fine. For then, but this is Resurrection Sunday. He's going to enlighten you. He's going to open you up. He's going to get you to see what his word is all about. Because it's his work that he's going to do inside of you." Amen? Getting it? He opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. Now, if you back it up and you look, verse 1 says, "On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were working about, there suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright," so they were afraid, "the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But when the men said to them, 'Why do you look for the living among the dead?'" Now, when you go to the cemetery, who's giggling? When we go to the seminary, same thing. See, you're going into the cemetery to see what? The dead. You're going to the seminary to learn about the dead. But when you go to the resurrection place, what are you going to find? No body. No dead corpse. You're going to find that Jesus was laid in a tomb, but he didn't stay. If you want to go see Muhammad's grave, you can. And they find exactly where his body's been laid, and they still worship this Muhammad. If you went to India, you'd probably find Buddha's grave, or wherever he's buried. Do you understand? But you can't go to Jesus' corpse, because it's not there. That is the difference between Christianity and all the other religions. And yet they say, "Oh, these are all wonderful ways to God." Well, BS to that. Because you know what? You can visit any grave site for any one of those great men, including Gandhi, and his dead body's still there. But when you go to the grave of our Savior Jesus Christ, it's empty. And he's still opening up minds today. He's still opening up hearts to himself today. He hasn't changed his mind about his love for you. He hasn't changed his mind about enabling you to understand him. You see, I was brought up in a nice religious home. Don't disturb my faith in God, because I know God's real. I mean, don't bug me. I got it. I got it from the time I was yay high. Don't bug me about this stuff, because after all, I know it already. And then, of course, as I grew up a little maturing, I was full of questions, and I shared with the people yesterday. When I was in school, I bugged everybody because I was very nosy. And I wouldn't let them off the hook. And all their answers were, well, this is a mystery. That's a mystery. This is a mystery. That's a mystery. Well, I didn't want to hear that, so I finally shut the thing down. Where was I shutting down? I was shutting down my own heart. Because I was a thrust inside of me to learn. But they didn't give me the word. They gave me the experience that they had, which was falling short. The Holy Spirit came in, and he lifted me out of that gravesite. You see, I didn't go to the cemetery for the dead anymore. I went with a new understanding. There's a day coming and all the graves are going to open.
Amen.
I remember after my dad went home to be with Jesus. And a few weeks later, I was having a real down day. And my mom had commissioned me to go and bring a plant. How many know Mama's always right? So you just behave and you do what Mama said. For some odd reason, my Bible was on the front seat of the car. And I took the plant, went up to the place where his body was laid. And I'm feeling sorry for myself, and I'm kind of angry that he's gone and I'm suffering. No selfishness there at all, right? And I'm kind of mad at God. I mean, after all, he was only 72 or 73. I mean, that wasn't fair. Bible says 60, 70 years is what you get, but it also says you can have 120. Well, anyway, that war was going on. I put the plant down, and the tears are falling on the ground, and brrr. Of course, that never happens to you guys, but happened to me. Make a long story short, I'm trying not to cry, and I'm not very good at it. It's pouring out of me like the faucet's running and the shutoff don't work. Lord, what is going on? He says, stop looking at yourself, because there's a day coming that I will bring you back here and this grave is going to empty. Whoa. That's cool. You know what happened to the tears? Cut. Right there. That happened right on Main Street, Three Rivers, Massachusetts. Not in 3,000 miles away. Right here. So, Lord, where is this in your word? And he showed me a scripture. And I don't remember what the scripture was. But it was about every grave would be opened. And the dead in Christ. Here you go now. The dead in Christ. Those that are in the body of Christ. Those that have tasted the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Will rise. Will rise. It doesn't say they might rise. Then it says even the unbelievers are going to rise. And they're going to come out of their grave. You mean that irritated old goat is going to come back too? Yes. How many of you have got a few irritating old goats in your life? They're going to be brought back to judgment. God is going to judge them, not you. He's not going to ask you to judge them because you probably already did. Amen?
Amen.
But you know what? Those that believed in the Lord, the Most High God, providing a Messiah, a Lamb, to be crucified so that you and I could come out of death and stay alive for an eternity. That's a pretty good promise. So, I want to go back to the word. Verse 6 says, he is not here, he has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day be raised again. Then they remembered his word. When he came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11, to all the others. And it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told them this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to be like nonsense. Do you ever have somebody tell you a story and you cannot kind of look at them, or these visionaries, these people that tell you they see stuff, and you're in your own heart saying, wonder. How much of this is fake? Anybody relate? Until it hits home. Then it's not fake anymore. Watch. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Typical. He's always the one that runs out and does something wild. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself, what had happened? Now it kind of skips over to a couple of other guys. That same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And they talked and discussed these things with each other. And Jesus himself came up and walked among them, but they were kept from recognizing him. I want you to hold on to that scripture. Say, some are kept from recognizing Jesus. That could be my old me. How many were kept from recognizing him for years? I was. I didn't understand what he was all about. I didn't have a clue. But when the Holy Spirit began to work on me, he began to change the way I thought, the way I perceived, because he was on the job, opening me up. But you see, there are others that are kept from understanding who he is. Why? Who can give me a clue why? Wouldn't you love to have them all understand where you're coming from? But it's not designed that way, is it? Some are designed to be kept for a while in their unbelief for a season, because God has a plan for their lives. How many are in a hurry to see somebody saved and changed and get off your throne? God's got a perfect plan for their lives. God's got a perfect plan. If he kept them in a place of unbelief for a season, stop getting worried. I could take you to Romans chapter 8. And in the verses of 29, 30, etc., those he foreknew he will reveal himself to. That's pretty cool stuff. So he's got a plan for them. Stop trying to manipulate God. He's not Santa Claus. We happen to have Santa Claus around his birthday time, but that's another subject. Verse 12, Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb, bending over and saw the strips of linen lying there by themselves. He went away wondering to him about what happened. So the wondering is also part of it that I want you to remember. There's a part of us even now that wonders, what is God up to? What is he doing in my life? It doesn't make sense right now. How many are walking in that space right now? Okay, so if you're walking in that space, Peter was walking in that space and God had a plan to reveal to him what was next. Okay? Now I want you to skip over to verse 36. The guys from Emmaus have a conversation with Jesus, and I want to kind of pass that up and go. And it says, while they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. Now, the guys on the road to Emmaus did recognize the Lord only when the Lord broke the bread. And now, they're all together, including Peter. And verse 37 says they were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. Oh, there we go. He said to them, why are you troubled? And why do you doubt? Or why do doubts rise in your minds? Why do you doubt? Why is there unbelief? Because it's not maybe your day just yet. Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. Ghosts, a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. He doesn't say flesh and bones and blood. Why? No blood. No more needed. It had already served its purpose. He had already let it flow all over the city of Jerusalem when he was being dragged through the city, if you wish. So his blood went in between the cracks of that city. It fell on that piece of wood that he was crucified to. It splattered over the post that he was tied to when they whipped him. It went everywhere. Finally, when there was only a little bit left in him, the Roman guard stuck a spear in his side, and water and the rest of his blood poured out. So he's totally empty. Verse 40. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet, and while they still did not believe it, because a joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything to eat?" I love this part. They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in the closet. Is that what your Bible says? Why wouldn't it be that he would hide in the closet when he's trying to prove to them, "I am alive. I don't need blood anymore." You know, the unbelief in all of us is so intense that even if we say we believe in resurrection, even if we advertise we know all about Easter Sunday, after all, that's the day Jesus came out of the grave. Yay, God! But you know what? The day that your relative comes out of the grave and says, "I'm hungry," and you give him a piece of fish and a piece of bread, and they go in the closet, they're fakes. They're fakes. Are you ready for a fake resurrection? Or do you want the real thing? Okay. You know, he said he ate it in their presence. And he said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms." In other words, he's giving them an array of places where it talks about him. And now when you read the Bible, you'll see it for yourself. And when you do, ask God, "Hey, open my mind. Open my understanding. I don't want to be just reading words or reading a line of multiplications and numbers and not comprehend." Amen? All right. Verse 45 is where we started. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations beginning in Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised. Stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. That's the commission I would say to you. Stay in the church. Stay focused on the one that can open you up and fill you with his power from on high. That's the whole message of this day for resurrection. Come out of the fear tactics. Come out of the doubts and believe. believe by choice. Verse 50, when he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them, and while he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple praising God. You got the message. Your job is to recognize that he's the one that can open you up. He's the only one that can give you revelation understanding. And as you go forward in this day, remember, he who began a good work is going to complete it. Because he loves you. Close your eyes. Say, Lord Jesus, you're the only one that can open me up. I don't comprehend the fullness of this message. But take me deeper. Take me deeper with your will. So that I can comprehend the purpose you have for this man. This woman of God. Because I don't understand. And sometimes I've been afraid to admit it. Or even cry out. Just when I get discouraged, I need God. But when everything's running smooth, I can do it on my own. Help my unbelief. And today, give me the cry for more of you in my life. Amen.